More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Caudette. Increasingly destructive wildfires are a major issue in the American West. Some researchers say that land managers have an unlikely ally in their efforts to confront the crisis. The beaver. You heard me right. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse traveled to a burn scar this summer to see the productive power of their wetland homes.
Laramie's charming Night Heron Cafe is just off the downtown rail yard. On a calm Sunday morning, a team of beaver researchers is putting the day's plan together.
Black coffee and a croissant.
That's Emily Fairfax's order. The assistant professor at the University of Minnesota's Geography, Environment, and Society Department is a leading scholar on the relationship between beavers and wildfire. She says our fellow mammalian architects are misunderstood.
Top three most hated beaver myths. Number one, that they eat fish. Beavers don't eat fish.
Some think they're disease carriers.
They're not.
Others unfairly malign them as prolific procreators.
Actually, they're slow reproducers and very territorial.
But Emily and her team didn't come to Wyoming to dispel beaver myths. They came to better understand the role the long-toothed, flat-tailed rodents can play in wildfires. The team piles into a rental SUV and heads southwest toward the Colorado border. In 2020, the Mullen Fire burned nearly 180,000 acres on both sides of the state line.
And within this fire scar, there are about 1,000 satellite-visible beaver ponds that provided fire refugia during the fire.
Fire refugia are parts of wildfires that either burn at low intensity or don't burn at all.
And so by having these refugia patches, you have sort of a nucleus of mature breeding adults and mature trees that can repopulate and spread back out.
Fairfax's research has shown that beaver dammed riverscapes are uniquely effective as refugia. The dams and canals they construct slow and spread water out, creating wetlands. In a paper published earlier this year, she and her co-authors found that 89% of such waterways constitute refugia, while just 60% of undammed waterways do. As the team nears the ponds, stands of blackened lodgepole pine speak to the fire's intensity. Waders and other gear are essential for beaver field work. They launch a pair of drones from a high berm above the creek to get a wide vantage. What emerges is an almost picture-perfect encapsulation of Fairfax's findings, a long, wide strip of bright green wetland, but on either side,
I am seeing a complete devastation of the landscape.
Fairfax and her colleagues argue that beavers could be part of a comprehensive fire mitigation strategy, and that argument is finding an audience inside of federal agencies.
Hello, it's Ashley.
That's Ashley Hom, a longtime Forest Service hydrologist who's now in a leadership role on the Tahoe National Forest. Several years ago, she had something of a beaver awakening.
Now, every time I go out in the woods or if I'm driving by a stream system, all I can think of is like, oh my word, every perennial stream that's at a lower grade used to be wall-to-wall beaver dams.
As many as 400 million beavers may have lived in North American watersheds before the fur trade decimated them.
These big, beautiful, hydrologically connected systems of beautiful, you know, lush riparian valley floors and wetlands.
She agrees that beavers could be potent allies. Their wetlands can buffer communities from encroaching blazes, and firefighters could incorporate them into strategy. She and others have been holding regular meetings with colleagues to make that case.
How do we get that third one in every conversation of like, we're doing prescribed fire, we're doing fuels reduction, and we're bolstering our wetlands?
Wetland fieldwork is slow and messy. Michelle Andrus, a researcher in Fairfax's lab, is trudging along the muddy bottom of a beaver pond.
Hitting gravel is 135 centimeters.
Depth readings show how much water and sediment the ponds hold. Postgraduate researcher Neve Baker has an even messier job. Sporting a pair of large goggles, she dives into the murky depths and emerges with samples from the pond floor. The DNA that can be extracted
gives you a really broad picture of the biodiversity.
Taking a brief break in the shade, Emily shares what she would want the public to see here.
In this moment, looking at the beaver ponds, I see a healthy landscape.
Unless you lift your eyes, she says, you wouldn't even know a fire had been there. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
And Murphy's joining us now to talk more. Welcome back, Murphy.
Hey there, Gemma.
Okay, Murphy, no disrespect here, but one could be forgiven for thinking that beavers are fairly ridiculous animals, borderline absurd, as I believe you describe in your story. But they're obviously doing some really serious work on our country's public lands. So tell us more about that.
I mean, to be fair, I'm sure they think of us as equally absurd.
But yeah, their work and its effects are extremely important. And so when it comes to wildfire, obviously the concept of refugia is key. Those are the areas, just to repeat, within a fire perimeter that don't burn or burn at low enough intensities that plant and animal species are able to survive. I will never get tired of emphasizing that wildfire, especially low and moderate intensity wildfire, is an essential part of the ecosystems we love in Idaho and across the West. But we just need to get better as a society, not just recognizing that, but embracing it. But with climate change and the consequences of decades of suppression-first wildfire policies, like the buildup of fuel, wildfires are getting much more intense and can burn in ways that are destructive both for the landscape and the built environment. Unfortunately, more and more people are building in or close to the wildlands, and often in ways that do not take into account the inevitability and necessity of wildfire. But those reckless decisions are, of course, a long, complicated, and separate discussion. Anyway, as Emily Fairfax, the researcher featured in the story, and her co-authors have found, beaver dam waterways are just exceptionally effective refugia, wildfire refugia, better than creeks and rivers alone. Just to repeat the figures from the story, 89% of beaver dammed waterways in the study areas constituted refugia, while just 60% of undammed waterways do. But there is another distinction that's more relevant than ever in our age of megafires. So let's hear from Emily here real quick.
Beavers are somewhat unique in that they are still maintaining and creating these fire refugia that can withstand the forces of today's megafires.
And so after seeing, you know, the refugia on the Mullen fire, this is very easy for me to imagine. You know, as the story noted, you know, there were nuked lodgepole pines just beyond the boundaries of the wetland. And, you know, because of my background, I do have a decent sense of how hot fires like that can burn. So that really just made the stopping power of the beaver dams all the more impressive. And very briefly, I think it's important to say that, you know, wildfire protection, that's not the only ecological service provided by the beaver. Ashley Hom, the Forest Service hydrologist in the story, you know, she pointed out that by slowing down and spreading out water on the landscape, downstream water users like irrigators in drought-affected areas can have more reliable water later in the season. And for the same reasons, those dams and canals can also take the punch out of flooding in the spring and early summer when snowpacks are melting. And also the deep, cool waters of dammed riverways can be very important to fish populations.
So what can be done to protect these beavers and put them to work?
Well, I mean, a lot of things can be done. So Ashley, the Forest Service representative, you know, she was involved in a major effort in Colorado to put in what are known as beaver dam analogs, or BDAs. And they're exactly what they sound like. They're human-made structures that try to imitate beaver dams. They can perform many of the functions of beaver dams, though our beaver friends are obviously much better at it than we are. And so that makes another effect of BDAs important. They can actually attract the real masters back to the area. And Ashley says that's exactly what's happened at many of the BDAs that they constructed in the project that she was involved in Colorado. And Emily pointed out that she's seen BDA projects where beavers come back and actually build their own dams, like right next to existing BDAs. And sometimes we'll even steal the material. Maybe steal is not the right word, but use the materials from the BDAs for their own dam construction. And it's hard not to see that as a, you know, kind of like a, you know, we see what you were trying to do, but please step aside kind of message from the beavers. On the Mullen burn, there was a lot of cattle activity. And Emily says that competition for food from cows can make it difficult for beavers to remain in the area. And Ashley agreed that this is an issue and says range management is a big part of the conversation around promoting and protecting beaver habitat. But among the most important things that can be done to benefit more from the dam building these creatures do is to simply protect current populations and allow them to continue to do the work that they're doing. Ashley says beavers are often trapped and killed when they're seen as nuisances to road projects or other worker properties. But the real impacts that they can have for projects like that can be mitigated. Emily and Ashley both acknowledge that the reputation that beavers have as pests, it doesn't come from nowhere. They kind of reject it. But you know, Emily jokes that beavers don't pull permits when they're carrying out these engineering projects. But when they're killed or trapped and removed, she had some strong words about the impacts of those decisions. Let's hear from her again.
When you manage a beaver, whether that's encouraging it to come back or removing it from the landscape or killing it or what have you, you're not making a decision about a single animal. You're making a decision about very large swaths of land. And to be more thoughtful about that, I think, is one of our probably best things that we could put time into.
You know, as Ashley put it to me, letting beavers be where they already are is probably the lowest hanging fruit.
Well, Murphy, want to thank you so much for this really interesting conversation. We've been speaking with the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse about how beavers are making good firefighters. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
Donald Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.